Well, let's get the show on the road. What's up? It's Bricked Up. What you'll notice is we do have a new logo, and this is me seeing into the future because I'm going to assume that I can figure out how to download a font. so if you don't see a new logo, assume that I have thrown my computer against the wall in frustration, and it is now broken.
I will assume that for sure.
All right. What's up, folks? It is your boy, Brian, always joined by my fantastic co-host, Rick Landis. How we doing, good buddy?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Feels good to be back. A little bit of time off. Apologies to the faithful who were excited about a podcast and didn't get one last week.
Yeah.
We were in Boston for Brian's bachelor party.
Ah, yeah.
So we'll talk about that later, mm-hmm. but, general thoughts on the bachelor party as a whole.
Dude, I had such a great time. My favorite part aside from the Flyers game, because being at the TD Garden was super cool. I've never been there.
It was sick.
My favorite part was probably getting to Sam Adams, the brewery, and like having a genuine like Irish trio just serenading us for hours in the afternoon.
Oh yeah, the live music.
Right?
That was sick.
There was something so Bostonian about day drinking to like original Irish tunes. That's
yeah.
There's something nice about that. Now, if you know me, which you know most people listen to this podcast at this point do, you know I have said some could say negative, if not violent comments about Boston and Massachusetts in the past. Now, I unfortunately have to sit here and redact those statements, as not only was the city fantastic, just the transportation was clean, not like the facilities, obviously, but that's never going to happen anywhere.
Yeah.
But it worked. It was effective. It was on time most of the time. But the city itself was a great walk. A lot of cool things there.
Mm-hmm.
They had their own version of Reading Terminal Market, which if you're from Philadelphia, you know, is maybe the coolest / worst place of all time because how busy it is always.
Yeah.
They had their own version in Boston that wasn't packed to the gills. It was beautiful. Mm-hmm. But I have to sit here and apologize to all the residents of Boston, because also the Bruins fans were so nice. They were so nice, and they didn't care.
Yeah,
you didn't care, and as long
to be
as
clear,
you were, yeah.
To be clear, Brian is not apologizing to the Boston Bruins. He's
God,
apologizing
no,
to the fans
still.
Of the Bruins.
The fans, yes. I will not ever say anything negative about the city or the people in it ever again. Now the team, however, go fuck yourself. That's just me. If you wear Boston Bruins colors and you're a fan, cool. That's fine. I got no issues with you. And if you're a player, we got beef. come find me. I'm not putting my address anywhere near here. No, but it was so much fun. It was just kind of one of those times where like I was surprised at how well everything went.
Oh, it was so smooth.
It was so smooth. Even to and from, we got through New York.
Mm-hmm.
No problems. At least yeah. I think getting home, I was asleep. I have no idea.
Yeah, no, it was nothing. Pretty much couldn't ask for better luck transportation wise.
And the weather, mm-hmm. It called for rain on Sunday. It called for rain almost the entire parade. Not a drop.
Yeah.
It was raining in the morning, but it stopped as soon as like we left the house.
Yeah. Yep.
Not only that, but the amenities at the house were great. Got one noise complaint, but we just kind of went to a bar because
yeah,
what are you gonna do?
Because it's not worth it.
Right. Yeah, I think at the onset it was supposed to be pretty poor weather for the whole weekend, and really we got perfect weather, especially Sunday.
Yeah, I think it was just supposed to be cold on Saturday. But in general, it ended up being perfect the whole time.
Yeah, and definitely did the right thing by having everybody stay into Monday. That would have been awful.
Oh, that would have been really bad trying to get home on Sunday. I don't think I would have been able to.
How dehydrated was your body after the match? Because, boy, mine, I felt like a dried raisin for like 3 days.
I peed like once, I think, on Tuesday. And then Wednesday, I finally got back. I have a gallon that I bring to work with me every day. And most days I finish it.
Right.
And Tuesday, I did finish it. And I peed once that day. So yeah, I had my cup of tea in the morning. I had 2 cups of water in the morning. I had the whole gallon throughout the course of the work day. And by 3 o'clock, I had peed once. And it wasn't even like a substantial amount of pee. It was just like, it was like maybe like a 12-ounce cup worth.
Oh, no. That's really bad. Holy cow.
Yeah, it was not good.
Yeah, it wasn't even like I was hungover or anything, right? That was saved for Monday. It was just my body was like, you need so much water.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yep.
But, oh, man. It was great, too, because like, it felt like everybody else had a good time, no matter where they were. Like sometimes we lost people, because it was kind of a large group. But at the end of it all, it's like everybody had a good time themselves, like their own version of a good time, stuff like
Seemed
that.
Seemed like it, yeah.
On Saturday after the game, the guys that wanted to stay in Boston and party did. The guys that wanted to come home did.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody got back to the house, had stories to tell. It was fantastic time. I thank everyone involved. It was great planning all around. I hope the wedding is as party filled as the bachelor party was, because then it was.
I hope it goes as smoothly as the bachelor party did,
dude. That's so do hope. I.
That's my hope.
Yeah, right. That's just the smoothness alone would be good. Let's just keep it very
everything
smooth.
Else. Well, everything else is under our control as long as the rest of it goes smoothly.
It's fair. Everything else. Completely controllable.
Yeah.
I think it'll probably come up more as the podcast goes on. But as we do here on Bricked Up, we're going to start off here with a Snapple fact. And now this one's fun because it's going to lead into some conversation that you all know us very well for at this point. So here we go. Snapple fact number 1573. Earth is the only known planet where fire occurs. You see where I'm getting at here, okay? Right? Where are we going? Aliens. That's right. So, if Earth is the only planet that can produce fire, would that not give us an intergalactic warfare advantage?
Yes, I would think. See, the problem is...
Right.
That's just what we know about. If we had an intergalactic struggle, no one is saying that the species that we would be against would be from our solar system or even from any planets that we can see, because there is a limit to which we can see. And if a group of other beings was significantly more advanced than us, they'd be able to reach us from an area that we currently cannot see them at. However, maybe they have stuff that doesn't produce fire, so they might be confused.
But how long would they be confused for, right? It probably not take them too long to figure out that water can
Exactly.
Smothering the thing can put it out.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the main issue, is even if they panicked for a brief moment, they'd probably figure it out fairly quickly that it's dangerous and it spreads fast, but an advanced civilization would probably have a way to handle it.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good point, actually, the whole we can really only see so much.
Yeah.
Theory there, just because there is a lot that we really don't know in a sense about like what the universe holds, and especially with how vast it is. Damn.
And the other thing
kinda,
too,
I was like hopeful.
The other thing too is like, even with like the James Webb telescope that's out there right now, like whenever you see pictures of things, it's not like the actual pictures that they get. They adjust them and like give them color and stuff like that to make it look as cool as it does. So who's to say that there's not information that they're withholding from us regarding what is available on these other planets?
Mm-hmm. That's fair. I mean, my guess is that they're withholding about as much information as they possibly can.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%.
Because there's just no way that they want to entrust anyone with that kind of information outside of government doors.
Yeah, and even there, it's probably a lot of paperwork to be able to know that information.
Way too much paperwork.
Yeah, a lot of what are they called, where you agree not to say anything?
Non-disclosure, NDAs, non-disclosure agreements.
NDAs. Yeah, there's probably a lot of different versions of those that cover every single angle where people aren't able to say things.
You think those NDAs just end in death? It's not even jail time. It's like, well, you say this, you're dead. And
take a look at the Boeing guy.
Take a look at the guy that figured out how to make an engine run off water.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, right? With that guy specifically, we can get into the whole ideas of, you know,
the water car you're talking about?
Yeah, the whole hit job thing, right? The concept of that has already happened. The steam engine used to run the Americas, right?
Yes.
The whole concept of that has already been thought of. Why have we not done that with water?
Because, and I could be wrong here, from what I understand, the water-powered car works almost like a gas car where you have to fill it. Whereas a steam engine is coal and then water on top of the coal, and then the steam is what powers it.
Right.
Whereas I think the water engine, there was no coal. It wasn't steam powered. It was legitimately just on water.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's way easier to perform.
Yeah.
Because you don't need
a
very volatile heating element like coal. But I feel like that the fact that somebody was able to put that together is just going to make somebody else do it, and then somebody else do it, and then somebody else do it. Instead of offing the people so that you can make sure that everybody stays on oil, because obviously, why don't you just do it yourselves? And then maybe you can be the first to profit off that. You're the first country to not use oil, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the problem. Oil is gold. Gold is oil. This whole thing there. You know?
Yeah, I mean, you think about how much the oil industry makes.
Oh, my gosh. It's
they're
insane.
Not giving that up.
And no. I mean,
they're not giving
most...
that up. Even for a water-powered car, they're not giving that up.
Most of the
you
big
start
families,
there and then,
yeah.
You start there, and then everything moves away from oil. And then, all like you were about to just say, all the big families that run everything in the country behind the scenes now have no money because there's no oil.
And if they have no money, then no one has any money, which is a bit of an issue. To touch back base with the alien thing, right?
Yeah.
I recently saw a video, just a little snippet of a movie that came out like back in 2015, called Absolutely Anything. It's a movie with Simon Pegg, who's a comedy actor out of England. Now, the concept of the movie is a group of aliens give a human being the power to do absolutely anything. So they give a human their abilities, right? Now, these are incredibly advanced beings that can do whatever they want. And they're like this galactic government, right? And they all work for the force of good. And they're like around this little table. And they're like, we have to see if the humans can be accepted into the intergalactic community. The way they do it is they choose a random human, give that random human their powers and abilities for 10 days. And if the human uses those powers for good, then they can confirm the human race is good and they can accept them in the intergalactic community. But if the human does bad things with said power, they completely incinerate the planet. So here's my question to you. Do you think that this is a viable thing that could happen?
100%. And I'm scared. Oh, and man. I'm scared because we're definitely dead.
Oh.
For sure dead. For sure
now,
dead.
What would you do if you wound up being the one human that had to basically represent the human race?
Honestly, probably wouldn't even notice that because I feel like they might make you like forget and then like they might do like their weird alien thing and make you like not remember anything. And then they're like, you have our powers. You have to figure it out, basically. And then like, you know what I mean? I don't know that they would tell you.
So you're saying, so
cause like,
they just wouldn't remember because you wouldn't even do anything different. You just go about your life.
Probably.
That's
I mean,
so good.
Would they tell me that it's a test?
Now, see, in the movie, they just gave it to him, and like things would start happening. Like he would think of something, and like poof, it would have. Like he'd be like, "I'm kind of hungry," and then like food would appear. I feel like you can't miss that.
That is a lot of food.
I feel like yours would be mainly food based for at least the first 48 hours.
I'd be like, "What is happening?"
You wouldn't even test any other power.
I wouldn't really know how to explain it though. Would be the problem. You know what I mean? Like.
How did he explain that to somebody?
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's tough. I better not be. I better not be the deciding factor for the human race because I have multiple. I have a lot of intrusive thoughts that probably should not be brought to light at any point.
And incredibly dark sense of humor.
Exactly. So if I just had to think of those things and they would happen, there'd be a lot of issues. There'd be a lot of issues. Yeah. So for the sake of the human race, I would like to take myself out of the running in order to be the representative. I would like to not be chosen for this.
That's not how that works, buddy. That's not how that works. You are on the list.
I feel like they'll understand where I'm coming from and respect my decision to not want to be a part of it.
They'll be like, nah, he really shouldn't do that. It's like a small list of some humans they just refuse to give it to and you're on there.
Yeah. And then there's going to be that one alien that's just me in alien form and they just love and appreciate chaos and they're like, we should definitely give it to them.
Like, I don't know. I think this could be a good time. I don't know. It seems like a good time to me. I mean, it's not the last time we're going to talk about aliens, but I thought we really would have a leg up with the whole fire thing. But you bring up a good point. Not only is the government...
Unfortunately, I don't think that's going to hold up.
Yeah, and it's just going to last so short. They'll figure that out. If they're if they're truly sentient and like all-knowing, they'll probably figure that one out. All right. Keep moving forward here. A lot of current news here, honestly, folks. This one's wild because this one just happened, what, this morning?
Overnight, I believe, yeah.
Overnight? I think it was like 3 a.m. or something. So a bridge in Baltimore collapsed. Currently 6 still missing people. So what wound up happening is let's see here. The Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore was hit by a shipment ship.
Cargo ship.
Yeah, cargo ship that had how many tons was on this thing? Can't get the that's got to be somewhere. So it was a cargo ship that just kind of ran into it. Don't really know how else to describe that one. Obviously, they're still trying to figure out like details and stuff, but
actually,
have you watched the video?
I have. So
yeah, me too.
Here's Gina actually said something to me when I got home that there was an update about it. So before anyone gets any ideas, any of you conspiracy theorists out there who might have thought this was some sort of terror attack organized by one of our enemies.
Are you talking about yourself from 12 hours ago?
It was not. Apparently what had happened was the cargo ship, whoever, I guess the captain of the ship or whatever, realized that the ship had completely lost power. So they were able, but they were able to radio in, because I guess the radio doesn't work on the same power system or whatever as the boat. So they were able to radio in and let the bridge people, I guess, know that they didn't have power and were unable to control the boat. So they were able to get emergency personnel out there and close off the bridge. So there's no cars on the bridge.
Yeah,
there were six cars on the bridge. But they were construction workers who were for some reason still on the bridge fixing a pothole while this was happening. I don't really know why they were.
No one's gonna tell those guys.
Yeah, everybody was just like, get off the bridge, and they were like, you guys stay.
You got this. I believe you guys
really
need
this,
right?
Really needs to be filled. So
you're good.
Yeah. Rest in peace to those people. Prayers, thoughts with their families and everybody
still
else
missing.
Affected. Obviously,
still missing. Not
obviously, yet. We're not. We're not joking, and we are making light of the situation because that's just how I handle things personally. But obviously, we're still thinking about everybody involved. But yeah, so they were able to get everybody off the bridge as far as pedestrians go, and then apparently, right before the ship hit, there was like some smoke and like the lights had come back on. So like they think they got power back pretty close to when the impact happened, and they were doing what they could to stop, but the ship was so heavy that it just didn't have time to stop.
Right.
And then it ran into the thing.
Damn.
Yeah.
Dude, now that makes a lot more sense, because you watch the video and you're thinking to yourself, how do you pull that off, right?
Well, my first thought was, and the reason that I was, that someone may have been suspicious.
Someone,
previously.
I don't know who that would be.
John.
John
was
talking to
there's
you.
The way the bridge is set up, there's so much open space
right
in the very middle of the bridge on either side of the support that they hit, and they just so happened to hit one of the supports, and it was like, okay,
yeah.
Like. What are the odds that they hit the support if they're out of, you know what I mean? Whatever. But apparently it was a complete accident. They're still investigating, obviously, so there might be more information that comes out, but that is what I have heard up to this point about what's going on.
I mean, for what it's worth, that makes sense to me, the whole they lost power thing. What doesn't make sense to me is there's no contingency plan for this.
Yeah, right?
Like, is it impossible for them to just drop the anchor where they are? I guess it really depends on like
when
they're
moving
wound up losing power.
If they're moving full speed,
yeah, that's not going to help.
And they stop and they drop the anchor, it might slow them down, but it's not going to stop them completely.
That's crazy. That is like,
yeah.
Well, I'm trying to think like what would have happened if there wasn't a bridge at all and they just continued to have no power, right? Like, what would they have run into?
Yeah, I don't know. I assume they probably would have still ran into the bridge.
Well, they would have run into something. I was saying if there wasn't a bridge.
Oh, yeah. I mean, eventually they probably would have hit land somewhere.
Yeah, but
and
then
that
like,
would have been really bad.
I feel like that would arguably be worse, you know, hitting. Well, at least luckily they were able to get as many people as they could off the bridge.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And like, and shut it down.
So the ship hit the bridge at 1:28 a.m. So there probably wasn't too many cars to begin with on there.
Yeah, at all.
But they were able to get off whoever. Yeah, it probably would have been worse because of the fact that they got most of the people off. It probably would have been worse if it made landfall. But if they weren't able, like if for whatever reason the radio was down too, and they weren't able to get all these people off the ship or off the bridge, then we'd have a real issue.
Yeah, I feel there's 22 crew members, two pilots, put the ship. I just feel like this could be a reason why we just as a society have a contingency plan for when all the power on a ship goes out.
Yeah, I feel like they should have some sort of backup.
Right? Have they never thought that that's possible?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess not.
Well, because it makes you think, like, what happens when you're on a cruise, right? All power goes out. Now what?
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I guess cruises are a bit different because you're in a bit more open water. But there are cruises that go down, you know, thinner.
Yeah, I mean, of water. Also, at some point, you would need to be, you would end up near land, whether you floated there or whether you were still going full speed there, you know?
Could you imagine a full speed boat of that size going into like a dock city or something like that?
It'd be a huge problem.
A massive problem.
Yeah, one of the
new we have
boats
no plans on how to.
City? Yeah, like that's, I don't know.
My question is like, I guess obviously more details will be coming out about this. Like
yeah.
Brendan said, it happened legitimately this morning.
I did see that the FBI director said that at the moment there is no thought that there is could be potentially linked to a terroristic attack, but the investigation is still going on.
I highly doubt this has anything to do with any terrorist attack. Look, I know that 95 is a pretty important roadway. I get that, Jazz, but like, it
playing devil's advocate.
Sure.
And again, I am no longer on the side of thinking that this is one of those situations, but playing devil's advocate. If someone were to have a very small EMP that would be able to take out the electronics on a ship.
Electromagnetic pulse, for those that don't know what EMP is.
Yeah. They might, if they timed it right, this could potentially be a way that they would do it.
Yeah, I mean,
and
that's fair.
There are like, obviously I am into conspiracy theories, so I hear about these things all the time, but they're like, obviously, and I think most people have heard about these kind of conspiracies and theories at this point,
right,
that the one way that you could destroy America is just by EMPing the entire country and taking out all of our electronics in the entire grid. So things that I have heard from people are that, like, the AT&T thing that happened a few weeks ago, for those that don't know, 4 a.m. AT&T went down. None of the customers had any service. All the phones were not working anymore. That was a theory that was something
that
happened.
Happened what, like 2 weeks ago? Something like
it
that?
It was a few weeks ago. It was more than two, but I think it was like three or four. But anyway, like, so there are going to be people that are theorizing that this is just another test, basically, like a quote unquote test of how people could possibly affect things with EMPs. Again, no longer on the side of this thinking. It probably is just an accident. They do happen. And thankfully, everything is fine for the most part. Besides the few people that were unfortunately not able to get off the bridge.
Yeah. Which again, it's they're currently labeled as missing. We still don't know any true fact about what's going on with them. However, no, and that's fair. It could, I mean, that is something that is, I guess, possible. My whole thing though is, if it's just a test, a strange way to test it. Just on
also,
a boat? On a cargo ship?
Yeah, but if you think about it, like you said, this area of Baltimore is big, but it's not the biggest.
Right.
So if you had the right plans in place, you make it look like an accident and you see how we handle the situation, how everything unfolds afterwards, how effective it is, you know what I mean? You're not necessarily looking for max results right now if you're potentially one of these other countries that might be doing something like this.
Right.
So
that's fair.
Just things being tossed around, just things being tossed around the conspiracy community.
Which, you know, I happen to be an admin of.
I'm on some forums. It's fine. A few Discords.
Oh my god, you have Discord channels? Is this what's happening?
No, I don't.
Do you know how to use Discord?
No.
Didn't think so at all.
But yeah, so that's what's happening.
I think that's the one thing keeping you from going down just a vicious dark rabbit hole on the internet is the fact that you are not that in tune with technology.
Internet.
Yeah. I think it's the only thing holding you back from being a complete lunatic.
I agree.
So I think it's probably
some things are for the best.
You know what technology I'm starting to get a little upset with, right?
What?
And, you know, it's not me being mad about the business aspect. I get that. Inflation's a thing. However, just to keep it whimsical and reasonably priced, can we talk about Dave and Buster's for a little bit here? We recently, because it was Gina's birthday over the weekend. Happy birthday, Gina. That's Rick's wife. Dave and Buster's.
Yeah.
How? We got to control these prices, people. I took a look at some of the prices at Dave and Buster's. It's starting to get ridiculous.
For what?
How are we going to keep it fun and whimsical if shit is, if you're going to be spending up, like if you have a family of, say, like you have a wife and two kids, right? And you're going to D&B. You might spend upwards of like $200+ at Dave and Buster's.
Yeah.
That's insanity.
It is a lot, yeah. Actually, this is funny because Gina and I were actually talking about this the day after we were at the grocery store. I came to a conclusion, and I've made a decision.
I love it.
If I ever were to win the lottery, obviously I'd have to play. If I ever became rich, the first thing I would do is I would open an old school arcade.
Yep.
Where you still pay to play with quarters.
Yeah.
And I think it would slap. I think it would do so good.
Yep.
I think everybody would love it. And that's my plan if I ever become rich.
Well, and what's great about that is because you're rich, right? You're really not in this to make profit.
Exactly.
Which is why it stays a good idea to do the quarters thing. Because you really could just reasonably charge a quarter for some games, 50 cents for others.
Yeah.
The like super technologically advanced ones, $1, you know, but like, because you're not trying to turn a profit, you're not really gatekeeping anything. So it's just because for those of you maybe from the Montgomery County area, you might know about this little place in Arlington, PA. It was right across the street from Earl Bowl, but it was called the Pinball Parlor. Mm-hmm. And now I'm fairly certain this was just some guy's passion project, much like Rick's would be. It was a piece of property. It was basically the size of just a regular like two-story house, right? The whole thing was an arcade. The upstairs was all pinball machines, old, new. It was almost like a museum of pinball machines that you
play.
You paid by the hour, so it wasn't really a quarter thing. Yeah. All the games would just work. And you could just play them. Yep. You just paid for however many hours you want to stay there. And for what it's worth, nobody was checking. You paid for like 2 hours. You wound up being there for 5. No one was checking. Yeah. And it was so great to grow up with that because it really kept you. It kept arcades fun for what feels like a generation that kind of got away from arcades because of the at-home game systems.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be, not only would that slap, I think that would actually wind up turning a profit on accident, even without you.
Which is fine if that happens. But first of all, I love arcades. Arcades are the shit.
They're great.
And I'd be there every day if I could, because I love arcade games. I love just the experience of being at an arcade is just so much fun to me. And I think, like you said, it's a lost activity almost. And if people had a place that they could take their kids to get them away from a TV screen and still give them something to get excited about, that, like, if you take a kid who's super into Fortnite and you're like, we're going to the arcade today, turn off Fortnite.
Oh boy.
At first they'll be like, but I want to play Fortnite all day.
Right.
You're there for an hour. That kid never wants to leave. I promise.
It's a blast, especially if you get them to go with a buddy or two, right? Especially if you just let them be kids in there and just kind of let them go. They want to stay all day if they can.
Exactly. So if I ever became rich, that's probably what I would do. And that's honestly my goal for my own house. Like, Gina and I don't necessarily plan on being here forever. If we do decide to move, I want to get a bigger basement area so that I can start to get arcade games and put them in there.
That's what
so that I can just play them all the time.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's the dream in a sense. And that's probably where that guy's passion project came from. Alas, if you are hearing this and you're like, oh my God, that sounds like a phenomenal time. I want that. The Pinball Parlor is no longer a thing. He sold the property, sold all the machines and stuff, and it is no longer there, which is kind of heart-wrenching, but I'll get over it, I'm sure.
Also, I'm not rich, so there goes.
Also, Rick is not rich. He does not play the lottery, so him getting shockingly rich, not sure how that would occur.
Probably not going to happen anytime soon, but we can hope.
But we can always hope that maybe someday one of Rick's kids gets super rich, give him the money so that he could have his old man arcade.
If we win the 50-50 from the Bruins game, I'm going to put it all towards that.
speaking of a good idea, well, first of all, I got one arcade question. Anyways,
okay.
Your favorite arcade game. We've been in a lot of arcades growing up.
Yeah.
What Either... if you had to pick a favorite arcade game, what do you got for me?
So, actual arcade game, not pinball.
Right. Pinball is totally different. Yeah.
Would have to be either Fix It Felix or Dig Dug.
Dig Dug is so good. That's such a good game.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your favorite pinball? Do you have one?
They used to have a Simpsons one at the pinball parlor.
That's the one, dude. That was such a good pinball machine.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, it was great. That was definitely my favorite there.
The original Batman one was very good too. I really liked the. Oh no, or was it the? It might have been the Dark Knight one. Yeah, because now the one I'm thinking of definitely had the Heath Ledger Joker. Yeah, that one. Oh, okay. Phenomenal. My favorite arcade game is Star Wars Racing Arcade. Whoa. It is a model of Anakin Skywalker's pod racing.
Okay.
Pod generically, you sit in it and you pod race and
kind of like the snowmobile thing.
Yeah, I got because that's my second, but that's like a close.
The
second.
Snowmobile is so one. Good. The snowmobile game is so good.
Phenomenal game. Oh my gosh. I miss arcades a lot.
Yeah.
I really don't know if there's one.
See, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. And we're not the only ones. If we
can't
had
be, right?
money, if we had the money to invest in this, we could make it.
And here's the thing. We do have a friend that works in commercial loans. I'm just saying, this is totally possible. How much money do you really need? How much money do you really need?
I don't know. It would be so sick though to make an old school arcade, like get a property, a plot of land, and just build this big arcade. Just go all out, make it a place that people want to travel to because they're like, there's this old school arcade in Pennsylvania. Like, I need it.
For what it's worth, just as a reference here, a Star Wars Pod Racer Deluxe Arcade Machine by Sega, the one I was talking about, in excellent condition here, and I'm seeing pictures, it is in pretty good condition, is $7,000. So, a game like that.
Yeah.
Looking in the 7K. Well, hold on. Let me look up the snowmobile arcade game.
But even if you think about it, $7,000, that one you'd probably have at least a dollar.
Oh, yeah. Arctic Thunder? Yeah.
What's it at? What's it at? Tell me it's under $2,000. I'm buying it right
Gently
now.
Gently used, $1,850.
I'll turn it. Give it to me right. I'll tear that shit up live.
Stop. Yo, stop playing. Give it to it. I'm going to tear it up live. Yeah. Oh. Dude, it's the Arctic Thunder.
$1,850 is so tempting.
$1,850 is not bad.
If we win this 50-50, I'm buying that. Send it to me.
Is working. Monitor looks good. Steering buttons are both. Hold on, I'm getting the details for you here. Here we go. Decent shape all around. Some imperfections. The cabinet is solid, but there are some minor cabinet damage and wear and tear. In the photos, monitor looks good. It was upgraded to a brand new 25-inch LCD LED monitor. The steering and buttons are both responsive. The arcade is a full capitals with exclamation point blast.
I can fix cosmetic. Cosmetic is no problem.
This would be an amazing present for any age. Add to your man cave or your game room. This machine can be customized to be a coin-operated or non-coin-operated free play.
I would never do anything else. If I had one of those in my house.
If you just had Arctic Thunder.
If I had Arctic Thunder in my house, you would never see me again. You'd be like, yo, we play Magic this weekend? I'd be like, no, I'm playing Arctic Thunder.
There's a set.
There's a set? 3,600. We can race
it. Come with two.
How much is it?
3,600. That's what? That's what? 17 apiece? 18 apiece?
18 apiece.
18 apiece for Arctic Thunder? For Arctic Thunder? You kidding
stop
me right
doing
now?
This to me.
Promotions and perks? Extra $100 off?
Stop.
Hold on. Oh, it's the
what
same.
What can I sell that gets me $3,600? What can I sell in my house that gets me $3,600?
Both have been replaced with the 25-inch LCD monitors. It's the same dude. He has like five of them.
Can he just give
one,
me
how
one?
How does one man have so many Arctic Thunders?
Can you just give me one?
If you have so many, can I just have one?
Can I just have one?
First of all, 53 people are watching this, so clearly there's interest in this guy.
There's interest. There's interest.
It's in Coatesville, Pennsylvania.
That's not
bad. That's like a 2.5 hour drive. We can just avoid the 750 in shipping.
And what would that bring it down to?
I don't know. Well, I mean, the price
so
stays the same. That just would be an addition. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
1,800 per. Yeah, so the one seat's a little worn. That's no thing. You just throw some disinfectant on there, call it a day. Dude, even it still has the tread stickers, you know, like the stickers at the bottom.
Yeah.
That it still has
those. We need to start a GoFundMe.
We need to start a GoFundMe. GoFund Arctic Thunder.
Get us Arctic Thunder.
Just what a phenomenal. Look at this. It looks so good, too.
First of all, who's getting someone an $1,800 gift? Second of all, if someone got me that as a gift, I'd cry for like 3 weeks.
You know, there's also something to be said about the Fast and Furious ones.
The racing ones are good,
yeah,
too.
I mean,
but just being on the snowmobile is just unmatched.
Oh yeah, dude, you pop that leg over, you sit on that like kind of longer seat. You're like, this is childhood incarnate right here.
Oh yeah.
Oh man. I'll tell you. You know,
why'd you have to look it up?
I'm sorry, it's intensely tempting.
It's so tempting.
Cause like how far of a drive is Coatesville? Like tops, right? I'll look it up. This is the problem with Pennsylvania. It's like a long state.
50 miles.
Stop it. That's like an hour and a half.
1 hour and 3 minutes.
Son of a bitch. If you want to avoid tolls, hour and a half. You get to avoid tolls too. Stop it. Is this the guy from the pinball part? Hold on. Let's think about this for a moment.
If anybody needs any masonry work done at their home, please let me know. I do work for cash.
Yo, if you hold up.
I don't know anybody who needs anything. I'm trying. I would.
You got to promote yourself, buddy.
I would do stuff for people, but no one wants to get any work done.
That's how you just have to introduce yourself forever now. Just be like, hey, I do masonry work for cash. No questions asked. Permits? Never heard of them. I'll do it.
Hey, I do masonry work for Arctic Thunder.
You solely do it until you can afford Arctic Thunder, and then you just completely stop. You're like, I don't do that anymore.
Don't test me.
Okay, so we on the ride to Coatesville, Pennsylvania, you do in fact pass Downtown Country Club where I'm getting married. If anyone invited to my wedding is thinking about maybe giving me cash, how about instead, right? You get together with a couple other people who are attending, okay? You can figure this out. I don't even need both Arctic Thunders. You just get me the one. Just get me in the door. You know what I mean? That's all. Could you imagine?
Could you imagine the look on Ellie's face? If instead of getting you cash, I went in with like six other people and we just got you one of those. and it was just in your garage, and she's like, you guys are going through the cards, and she's like, what the heck? Rick and Phil and Firm, they didn't even get us anything.
They got us no friends.
In the wedding. They didn't get us anything. They got us a card that just says our names on it. And then she goes in the garage, and there's just Arctic Thunder sitting in the garage.
How
right
did
next to
that
the treadmill.
Get there? Oh my gosh. Would you look at that?
It's right next to the treadmill. So when she's doing her runs, you're just playing Arctic Thunder.
Oh my God. It's just, she's complaining about nobody getting us any money. And it's a knock on the. Oh. What could that be? I just frolicked to the door. Yeah, I have a shipment here. Yep, thank you, sir. I'll sign for that.
You should probably get out of here. Things are about to get ugly.
I'm going to tell you what, sir. You're going to want to drop that thing off and run. It's about to get real ugly real fast, okay?
Because if you don't leave right now, you're going to end up taking it back with you, and neither of us want that.
I don't want to load it back up. You don't want to load it twice. You know? Even better is if it just is there in the groomsman's lounge at the wedding. I'd forget to go out for the reception. I'd just, the boys would just be running Arctic Thunder all night.
That'd be amazing.
Get the boys fired up on Arctic Thunder. You know, I really think that there could be a resurgence of arcades, but what sucks is it's really not sustainable because the kids don't, I really don't think this generation cares about something like that, you know?
It's tough, yeah, because it would be a lot of people our age.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I think it would be easy to get kids into the games. You would have to start really young would be the thing. Mm-hmm. Because kids now are used to the Fortnites and the Rocket Leagues of the world where
right.
Everything is so responsive and so quick. And like for example, the other week I was home from work. We had a rain day. And I have a Super Nintendo, a Nintendo simulator on my Switch. And right. I was like, you know what? I got nothing else to do. Let me boot up the original Legend of Zelda. It is so unresponsive compared to the new games. But being someone who grew up in the era of unresponsive games like that, I had a blast. I could see why it wouldn't be as fun for someone who is now in the era of games where you lightly breathe on a button and it presses it for you. How
yeah
that might not be quite as fun. But I think
and
if it
and
was
now you can
something
set like how sensitive buttons are in like a settings menu. Yeah,
but like, yeah, and that's why it would be one of those things where I wouldn't want to do it to turn a profit. I would just want to do it to give people the experience and like have that time with like their kids, and like it would be like a good like bonding thing, I feel like, for parents and kids.
Right. Yeah, and honestly, it was like good bonding, right? You would go with like your dad usually, or your mom would take you or something like that, and it'd be at least 2 to 3 hours of fun. And as a kid, you'd be exhausted. You're running around that place. It's a workout, right? Arctic Thunder is not for the weak of heart. Okay, you have to work. Okay,
if you want to be a loser, you can sit down. But everybody knows if you want to even have a chance at winning, you're doing the half squat.
You're doing the half squat, and as soon as that thing is airborne, you stand up straight like you're actually in the air.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you
land
with it, right? We're not here to fuck around, okay? This is Arctic Thunder we're talking about. this is not a child's game, okay? Actually, ignore everything we said. This is an adult-only arcade, okay? We are serious about this.
21 and up. It's Dave and Buster's, except for not as expensive.
Did we just open up Dave and Buster's again?
I think we just invented Dave and Buster's.
Start the whole segment with complaining about it. End up being a Dave and Buster's. So good. All right. I think there's some other stuff we want to talk about here. One thing that we're both super excited about, and which we haven't actually gotten the chance to talk about on this podcast yet, which is kind of wild, is Magic the Gathering. For those of you that don't know what that is, it is a trading card game. And Rick and I are very into it. We have invested a lot of time, effort, and money into this game. So please go with us on a journey here into the new set coming out, Outlaws of Thunder Junction. So the spoilers have just started coming out for this set, and Rick and I want to talk about it because we got a couple of cards we're excited about. I think a good start, right, just because I feel like all Magic players can get on board with this, is the return of the Shockland. The reprinting of Shocklands is arguably maybe one of the biggest things that's going to come out of Magic this year, I think, is the reprint.
Well, the Shocklands are in the new Horizons set.
Oh, no.
We got two check lands. We got a check land.
Okay, yeah, you're right. You're right.
One that does damage in this one.
Yeah. Well, there's enters tapped and
deals the damage.
So it's check land. Okay. Read it wrong. That's on me. Either way, though, that is coming out in New Horizons. We'll talk about that when that happens. But check lands are not bad, I don't think. For me,
I agree.
It's one of those things where, yeah, it comes in tap, but at least you can just kind of poke somebody. I'll always appreciate a little bit of fuck you.
Well, like, yeah, so a little bit of background, too, for people that, which is probably everybody, that don't know anything about Magic the Gathering. This theme of this set is Wild Wild West, which is super exciting. One of the new things they're introducing is called committing a crime, which is when you target another person or anything that they have on their board. And these new lands specifically are perfect for that.
Yeah.
So that's one of the big things. But yeah, I'm just excited about the Wild West theme because it's awesome.
Sorry about that. Was blowing my nose. But I think committing a crime is so good. There's going to be a lot of like cool mechanics coming out of that whole aspect, because if there's one thing Commander players love, it's randomly delving out useless damage.
Yeah.
It's arguably one of our favorite pastimes. It's just the here to the face, there to the face. It's just kind of funny all the way around.
Yeah. But
committing a crime is just a phenomenal use of terminology for this set.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things about this set, and if you're not driving your car, folks, might as well just go on Google and look this up. The art cards on this one that look
look so sick.
That look like pieces of newspaper or
wanted posters. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. And like the full art, don't get me wrong, it's gorgeous art. I'll always respect it. But man, these art cards with the wanted posters or like old, like this Oko Thief of Crowns that has the prosperity post up top and it looks like a ad. That's so good.
Yeah.
Also, the fact that Oko is back is kind of wild. Do we need to give Simic players more? I mean, there could be an argument. No, but you know, here we are nonetheless. I don't know. Do you know, like, so I haven't really sunk my teeth into this set quite yet. What is the overarching excitement on this one? Is there a lot to be excited about? Is there one color getting a lot? What's the chase card here?
So far the only big card I've seen that's getting reprinted is Mana Drain.
Okay, that's pretty big.
And that does have one of those cool wanted art posters.
Oh yeah, look at this.
Other than that, I don't really know of any big ones. There's a new Jace. But I haven't really heard too much about like anything big. There's a new sword that's coming out that's pretty good. The Sword of Wealth and Power is actually really disgusting as a card.
Rakdos is getting his own card too. Look at you.
Yeah, he has a few.
Yeah. He's a recurring character.
But yeah, so it's just like most of the theme like is around like stealing things from people, getting land, as if you were buying and selling land back in the Western days, and just stuff like that. So a lot of treasures, because
gold, lots of treasure,
money and stuff like that. So yeah, it's cool. There's a lot going on. Even if you're not a fan of Magic, it's worth going on and checking out some of the art, just because the people that they have doing these cards are legitimate artists, and
they're fantastic.
Yeah, they do a great job with a lot of these things. So Definitely worth checking out, even if you're not really a fan of magic, but you do like things like that are artistic.
Oh, look at this crime and punishment card. That's cool.
Yeah, it's really
What the?
cool.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I mean, also, I think the card that I'm most excited about, there's two cards actually, and it's just because of the art. It's Fibblethip Lost on the
Yep, I knew
Range
it. I knew it.
and Tiny Bones the Pickpocket.
Yeah.
You kidding me? These are the cutest things I've ever seen. I'm not really a mono black player myself, but and I really don't even know how well I could actually build a Tiny Bones the Pickpocket deck, but I'm thinking about it. And look at him. He's a one drop commander and
Yep.
he's adorable. Let's see here. Death Touch. Whenever Tiny Bones the Pickpocket deals combat damage to a player, you may cast target non-land permanent card from that player's graveyard. And mana of any type can be spent to cast. See, that's it. Here's the one thing that I think I've never been able to get on board with is using other people's stuff, because I can barely remember what my deck does, let alone adding cards in somebody else's deck that I don't know what it does.
That's the fun though.
Is it though? Is it fun to
I
be
like.
confused?
Oh yeah, I think so anyway.
Okay. However you have fun, my man, however you have fun. Now here's the question. Are you more excited about this one or
Bloomberg.
the upcoming set, the whatchamacallit? It's
Bloomberg.
that one.
The animals one.
Yeah.
100% that one.
1,000
Not even
percent. I'm
close.
so doing
Not
a
even close.
pre-release for that. You kidding me?
Not
Oh
even not
my
even
gosh.
close.
It's so cute.
Yeah.
Oh,
All
I mean
animals.
the you gotta think, right? Well, because it's the return of your homie the otter, and his card might actually not get banned immediately this time.
Yeah, right.
So that'd be big. You also gotta think there's gonna be like, because everybody I feel like has a some sort of animal tribal or an elf tribal, right?
Yeah.
I feel like that set is going to completely boost all of that.
Oh yeah,
I mean,
100%.
like I have Bear Force One. There's definitely gonna be bears in that, right?
Yeah.
The squirrel decks are about to get even better for illegal purposes, I would say.
Yeah.
But I'm excited for like the, you know, like can we get like a reasonable bunny deck going or something like
I
that?
want
Can we,
a
you know?
badger commander.
Yeah, well, technically you have one.
I want an actual badger.
Would you completely change green
No,
sleeves if
I would
okay, I
just
didn't
have
think so.
another badger deck.
I feel like you made green sleeves and it was like, I think I have to keep this around forever just so I can make sure I can win a game.
I just like making badgers.
Yeah, it's
I don't even need
that
to
deck's
win as long as I
nuts.
make badgers.
It's hard to not win with that deck. I gotta be honest. It is hard to keep that thing down.
It is a decent deck. I'll give you that.
Yeah, it some have said. Yeah, the expect the magic content on here to ramp up a little bit. Just because that's one of our major interests, and we've already gotten you this far in the podcast, so you're already here. It's too late for you. Now you're gonna find out about Magic the Gathering. This is your own doing. All righty, let's see what else we have to unpack. A little bit of sports stuff here. A little bit of sports stuff. The NFL is they're having, I believe, their GM meetings, right, or what have you. Their winter meeting. That's
League
not winter
meetings,
spring. Yeah,
I don't even
league.
know, yeah.
But is it usually when rule changes or anything really starts getting talked about and actually implemented, right? Two things were big that came out yesterday and today. The first one, which actually really pisses me off, and I'm sure you have an opinion on it too,
Incredibly dumb.
because you played football in high school. They are banning the hip drop tackle. Now, for those of you
So
that don't
stupid.
know what that is, it is when a defender is initiating a tackle and they are either like to the side of the player or behind the player, and in order to stop their momentum and get them on the ground because of maybe they weren't able to get a running start for the tackle, they weren't able to lower the shoulder, is they kind of just drop their hip to the ground and just bring the player with them.
Yeah.
Now, I understand it is probably statistically a higher rate of injury tackle because usually they're behind the player and a
Yeah.
knee can get rolled up, an ankle can get rolled up. I get that. I do. I get all that. However, that is going to be such a ticky-tack BS call every time it happens if it's not an injury.
Yeah.
If it's
Yeah.
an injury, it's an immediate flag. I get that. I do. But when the player bounces back up, there's not an injury, and it was just a tackle. If you throw that flag, it's 15 yards. They're doing a 15-yard unsportsmanlike penalty for it. It's going to be basically
also, which means that if you get two of those, you're out of the game.
So it's basically like targeting in a way.
Yeah.
And look, I've made that tackle playing backyard football with friends because it's the only way to bring somebody down sometimes.
Yeah.
And we're gonna generically ban it in the National Football League?
Yeah, it's insane. There's no reason that should be something that we're concerned about. The other thing that we're going to get into, I agree with more because I think it actually does help things.
Right.
But this one is, it's like roughing the passer, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Just stay hands off with it.
Right.
Like, we're doing so much to protect, or the NFL is doing so much to protect quarterbacks now with roughing the passer calls and literally just everything. Like, you almost can't touch a quarterback if they're top 16 in the league.
Right.
Like if it's an Aaron Rodgers or a Tom Brady, like, or a Patrick Mahomes, you can't touch them without getting a call is basically how it works out. And we're getting to that point. And JJ Watt tweeted it out. A few other defensive guys from the league tweeted it out. We're basically just saying, don't play defense anymore. This is going to be an NBA All-Star game. It's going to be all offense.
It's going to be a Pro Bowl game, generically.
You're just there to look. You're just there to look and basically make it seem like you're trying to do something.
So, just look pretty, stand there, do nothing. Yeah. And you kind of saw this. I mean, obviously, you know, hindsight's 2020 here, but years and years ago when they started to really crack down on defensive backs playing the position, like, can't really do what B-Dog did anymore, can't really do what Sean Taylor did anymore. Ray Lewis. Gone are the, you know, corners of old, like Darrell Revis, who actually would, you know, body people. Up a wide receiver that outsized them because it's the only way to play defense against Calvin Johnson, you know?
Yeah.
Like, when they really started to crack down on that and it almost became generically impossible to actually play the corner position physically.
Yeah.
We probably should have seen this coming.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, I was on board with the targeting thing. That makes sense. Don't make helmet-to-helmet contact. I get that. I was even on board with some of the, you know, secondary play. Because sometimes, like, you know, if a corner's got a guy by the shoulder pads and it's basically preventing him from jumping, I'm good with that being called PI. But at this point, what's the actual percentage of injury on this tackle? I know you have that statistic. I know somebody's done the numbers there.
My thing is there is no way, and I don't have any numbers to back this up, but there is no way, in my opinion, that it's not more dangerous to play on artificial turf than it is to make these tackles. Like, people definitely get hurt because of turf more often than they get hurt because of these tackles, and nothing is being done about getting rid of turf, which, first of all, nobody likes playing on. If you ask every single NFL player, you might get three of them that say they like playing on turf, and it's because they're psychos.
Right.
More injuries happen on turf fields than grass fields every year. Like, every year, what is it, MetLife, the Jets stadium? Where
the Giants and Jets play has, like, the highest rate of injury in the league.
Every year. On every team, it's insane, and no one is doing anything about it. And then we do something about something stupid like this, where, and again, sometimes it's on purpose. I get that, but even with, like, some of these PI calls, some of these targeting defenseless receivers, kind of stuff like that, like, things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the speed of the sport. It's very fast. You can't always control everything. Even with some of the helmet to helmet, it's like, a guy can be going in for a perfect tackle, and then the receiver drops his head at the last second, gets the helmet to helmet and a penalty. The defender did nothing wrong. The wide receiver just decided to change and do that at the last second. It's the same thing with these hip drop tackles. Like, every once in a while, a guy is going to accidentally do a hip drop tackle, and they're going to get called for it, and it's going to be stupid.
I think it's going to be even dumber when a tackle happens and it's not a hip drop tackle and they get called for it.
Yeah. 100%.
Like, say for example, there's a situation where a guy's going in for a tackle on Derrick Henry. Hey, tough guy to bring down, right?
Yeah.
And they have momentum to the tackle. They actually get the wraparound and the shoulder, but because it's Derrick Henry and they're trying to tackle him from the side, they kind of like their body momentum kind of wraps around. And that's how the tackle starts. And obviously they did not go into it with the intention of using their body as a mechanic to bring him down. Here's a flag, though. That's a hip drop.
Yeah.
And it's going to be so dumb because it's bound to get overcalled early in the season, as any rule change does. And I got a bad feeling it's going to affect the league in very negatively.
100%. 100%. The situation that I'm concerned about most is a defensive end coming around the edge, trying to get a quarterback. The quarterback steps up in the pocket, and the defender gets them by the waist, and their momentum is carrying them the opposite way, so they're able to bring them down, but because their momentum is going and they have them by the waist, and that being called a hip drop tackle, which it is not, which is probably going to get called for, like I said, the top 10 guys in the league, the Patrick Mahomes, the Josh Allens of the league, and no one is going to be happy about it.
And Josh Allen does not need it, by the way.
Yeah.
That dude is Cam Newton size, and Cam Newton never got calls, if we're just going to talk about it as a legitimate
truthfully, yeah, he
issue.
Never got calls.
He never got calls, and you could argue that it ended his career a little early because I think he still had some years in him, but injuries obviously happened. And there's obviously going to be quarterback favoritism, as is with any tackling rule and all that. But also, I feel like we have to, as a league, as any sports league, really, all four, for what it's worth, we have to stop giving officials vague rules.
Power.
They're basically cops at this point. Like,
yeah,
they have way too much autonomy to make a call because that's what they saw.
Yeah.
In the year of our Lord 2024, Rick, we have so many cameras everywhere. Everything could be reviewed.
Yeah.
And there are still some calls that aren't reviewable.
Yeah, very quickly, mind you. They could be reviewed. You could very easily, and we're talking about this hypothetically because that hasn't happened yet, but a hip drop tackle happens. They show it on the TV broadcast 6 times in the next 15 seconds. It's not that hard to watch the slow-mo that they show on the TV broadcast even and be like, oh, wait, that wasn't a hip drop tackle. We're picking up the flag.
And then they don't show it in stadium either because they don't want to rile up the crowd. You wouldn't have to if you just went by the fact that we have so many different camera angles, especially in football.
Yeah.
I work with a guy now where I work who used to work for NFL Films.
Okay.
He told me he left in 2015. At the time of him leaving, every single NFL game had over 300 cameras.
Jeez.
300 cameras. And they
That's
had
insane.
A full staff of people watching those cameras. People getting paid way too much damn money to just watch.
That's crazy.
And we're giving what, a group of 5-6 guys full autonomy to be like, I mean, that's what I saw, and it's not reviewable by the league. So we don't have to take the time out of our day to watch it. Now, I kind of understand in a certain aspect, you got to think about pace of play. If everything gets reviewed, then we have a bit of an issue. But when it comes to specifically 15-yard penalties or penalties that are marked at the spot of the foul, I really feel like those should start getting reviewed.
If it's questionable. Right. If it's questionable, it should be able to get reviewed.
If it's fully egregious, I get it. But we shouldn't have to wait on a coach challenge or something like that. Mm-hmm. If there's a very ticky-tack call and really it could, like, the PI could have gone either way and it just gets called on the defense because that's usually what happens, I wouldn't mind there being a full video review official that has, like, the veto vote, basically. Yeah. Who has the next 30 seconds to tell them go or no go.
Not even. They just need like 10 seconds to watch a slow-mo replay of whatever the call was. And then they radio in, say, pick up that flag. the official on the field goes, there is no penalty on the play for this.
And then we're good to go.
And we're good to go. There's not gonna, you're not gonna rile up the crowd by making the right call.
I think that's what they're not understanding is you're not going to make everybody mad by making a mistake and correcting the mistake.
Yeah.
You're making everybody mad by just fully making the mistake, refusing to correct it, and then gaslighting everybody that we're wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Never would I have thought that I would be saying the NFL is gaslighting me, but here we are. And it's not like this is a one-off, right? We've seen rules like this in the past and plenty of sports, right? In almost all sports, where there are these very up to the discretion of the official rules that do nothing for the game except for complicate it and make some calls in really big spots mean everything.
Yeah.
Mean everything. You know, like, for example, the I would say what the NHL is doing currently with some of the ways that they're suspending players for certain hits and stuff, it's been all over the map. You have a guy that like fully committed to taking this dude's head off, saw the numbers, went right through the boards, and basically tried to decapitate him. He gets one game. You get a guy who like was going for a hit last second. The guy moves. He kind of puts a leg out because obviously you shouldn't do that, but he puts a leg out. It's a little bit knee to knee, but neither guy was seriously injured. And he got the 2 minute penalty during game.
Yeah.
Gets like four games. You're like, okay, see what are we doing here?
Yeah.
You're given officials and the leagues and people who aren't playing the game or are not involved in the actual entertainment way too much power. Way too much power. That's our TED talk. The leagues have too much power.
Yeah, I get you're worried about the player safety and stuff like that, but guess what? You're getting paid so much money to do this, and when you sign on to do this, you're signing that you understand the risks that come with playing this sport.
Mm-hmm. Not only that, but like, especially when it doesn't involve head contact.
Yeah.
Who are we giving a four-game suspension to? For knee to knee? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I
know people that have walking drunk home one night, torn their Achilles, walking off of a curb.
Yeah.
Okay. I know someone that did that. Things happen. We don't need to make these rules. So that we don't have as many body injuries. The head is the thing that we should be mainly concerned about. Obviously, arthritis happens in the future, stuff like that. But guess what? Accidents can happen literally anytime, doing literally anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I know a kid who got a concussion from walking into a cabinet in his kitchen. You can only control so much.
Yeah, it's so true though, because especially in like high pace sports, decisions have to get made very quickly.
In milliseconds.
Milliseconds. And if, especially in football, when you have a guy tackling and all of a sudden the guy tucks his helmet, the guy getting hit out of nowhere, the defenders already basically initiated the tackle. They've begun their motion. The guy tucks his head last second.
Yeah.
Head-to-head contact, 15 yards, and an unsportsmanlike. It's like, okay, well, that was not his fault. You know?
We got to use discretion here at some point.
Yeah, and I think that's the problem is not only do they have too much power, but it feels like they're always getting it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We got to do something about this. Either way, we're going to find out how that rule transpires.
But we're not here to be like 97.5 the Fanatic and talk about the Eagles in the middle of March. Because we have something more important happening, hopefully Thursday, maybe Friday probably Friday because of weather. And that is the baseball season is here.
Oh, yeah, it is time. We were going to start the podcast off with like what your favorite part of spring was, since spring has kind of officially sprung, even though I was lied to.
It's still
Phil.
Cold out.
Phil is a stone cold liar. Don't get me started on a Puck to Tawny Phil tangent, because I mean, this dude has completely lied to me. Either way, spring's fighting back a little bit today. It was about 50 and kind of sunny. It felt kind of good.
Yep.
However, spring has kind of sprung, and baseball is around the corner. We have we actually have real baseball that counts towards the record starting this week. For those of you that don't know where we're from Philadelphia. We're Phillies fans, and we don't have to appeal to the larger masses on this podcast. We're Phillies fans, so we got the Braves. Starting the year off against Atlanta.
Yeah, we're just going right into it. Just right into it.
I mean, come on, man. I get it. In the grand scheme of things, Harper, Acuna, Wheeler, Strider. I get it.
It's great to show as your headliner.
That's good television. It's good. Good to watch television. As a fan of one of those teams, I'm shaking. Okay, I did not want to start the year off against Atlanta of all teams.
Yeah,
to play.
That's a huge issue. Huge issue.
Thank goodness it's at home, so it's at the bank. Thank God. Along with that, thank goodness it's also the start of the year, right? Mm-hmm. Atlanta hasn't completely revved up into, oh, we're just going to beat everyone.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because if there's one thing we know about Atlanta, is when they have a couple of off days and they show up in Philadelphia, they shit themselves. So, you know, that could prove to be advantageous going into this series. So Thursday 3:05, Saturday 4:05, Sunday 1:35. No nightcaps here. All afternoon games. One of them being a matinee on Sunday. Mm-hmm. How do you think the boys in red pinstripes come out of this one?
It's tough.
It is.
Schwarber never really starts off hot at the beginning of the season.
No, he might pop off like two homers in the series, and that's probably it.
If that.
If he's lucky.
Hopefully Harper picks up where he left off at the end of last season. I would love to take the series 2-1, but I just have a really bad feeling about a 1-2 drop in the series.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't help. It doesn't help that spring training really didn't gleam anything.
And that's the main right. thing that I'm kind of concerned about is we didn't look too great, especially towards the end of spring training. Yeah.
Now, a couple of guys looked phenomenal in spring training. I'd like to highlight Alec Bohm. His defense has gotten
way better.
It's nuts because last year I thought he was probably in the conversation for a gold glove at third. He didn't wind up getting one, but I thought it could be talked about.
Yeah.
I mean, the defense this spring was nuts. The bat was working too. 268 average, 733 OPS. That's nuts. A dude is hitting it and hitting it far, which is great. JT had a really good spring, and usually he doesn't have a great spring. So that's something to look at early in the season. Especially with him getting older, that's kind of just my concern in general is a catcher aging.
Yeah,
for good. But he could be the exception. It's possible. Also, Trey Turner, 283, was hitting the ball really well. Was seeing it really well. Hopefully, he doesn't have a start like he had last year. I doubt he will.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, dude's a gamer. I think it might have the new contract, the new city, the whole thing. That reasonably can get to a human being, right? You're completely moving your family. You're going to the other side of the country. You have to worry about all this stuff happening. Like, I get that it's the summer, but you still have to worry about, like, where are your kids going to school? How's the house coming together? Did you need to get rooms painted? How are the kids settling in? Is the wife happy, et cetera, right? That's a lot to take in. And you now have the responsibility of this massive contract and a fan base that is not patient.
Yeah.
Some have said. Now, obviously, the elevation happened, all that jazz, and everything was peach keen after that. But if he starts out hot this year, I think that might be one of the biggest things for this roster, if he starts out hot.
Yeah. I was listening to 97.5 this morning, and they were talking. Ooh. And it now has become one of my keys to success for the Phillies this year. I now have three keys to success.
You got keys to success. Yeah,
keys to success.
I feel like I'm watching NBCS Philadelphia.
You are. You're on NBC Philadelphia.
This is exciting.
So my three keys to success for this year for the Phillies. Are you ready?
I'm locked in. I am fully locked in.
We need to see Trey Turner, vintage Trey Turner.
Yeah.
We need to see Bryson Stott that we saw last year, plus a little bit of something.
If you can give me a little bit more, yeah.
And the thing that made me decide that this was one of my keys to success for the Phillies this year is they were talking about Rojas and how his bat has looked better this spring. But they said they were talking about how good his defense is, which if you're a Phillies fan, you know his defense is stellar.
He's not.
And they said that they would be happy with him hitting 250. And in my mind, that is now the standard of what I need from him this year is just hit average.
Yeah.
Keep your defense where it's at. Hit average. Get better as the season goes on. If we can have Rojas's bat pick it up, that gives Schwarber probably a guy on base more often for him to do his thing in the leadoff spot, because we know he's still leading off. That's not something that's changing, no matter how much people want it to change. It's not changing. So if we can get him there, he'll be at the bottom of the order. If we just get him on base more often, we're sitting pretty.
If the guy could just bunt, I mean, could, like, if I don't know how it's possible for somebody to be a Major League Baseball player and just be completely inept at bunting.
Yeah. Yeah.
How is that even possible?
When you're that fast too. How have you not practiced that?
Yeah, how is this not been your entire game?
If anything,
that
should be
yeah.
the only thing that you know how to do.
Swing the bat. The hell with that, dude. Just put the thing on the ground.
Bunt, get on base, and play defense is fine. I'll take that. If that's what you do for us this year, that's fine.
Ricky Henderson made a full career, a Hall of Fame career, I might add, off of just putting the ball on the ground and getting to first.
It's fine by me.
And they stole two bags and he'd be on third in like seconds. It's nuts. Now, is that going to always be the case? Probably not. But if you just get on base, you know, if it's a single anywhere, he's getting to third. That's almost never a concern unless it's like an error instead of a hit. But like if that ball is an actual base hit, he's on third easily.
Yeah.
Now here's a question for you. I don't think they're going to do it, right? Because Castellanos is kind of one of those guys you want in the lineup every day. You don't really want to cycle him at DH with Schwarber.
Yeah.
I would love, 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 love to see Whit Merrifield be an everyday guy somewhere.
Yeah.
That guy hits the damn ball.
It's just where, though, you know?
You have nowhere to put him except for the outfield. He's a great utility guy. He's the kind of bench bat that good teams have.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really excited about that because that a guy like that coming off the benches.
Yeah.
Like if Pache is slumping or Rojas is slumping and you need a big spot, you have Whit.
Yeah.
You know, that's massive. But man, to have that guy out there every day in the spring, 405 and a 1.143 OPS.
Yeah.
I'm kind of thinking it's hard to keep him out of.
I think it's like you said, you got to find somewhere to put him.
Do you cycle him and Brandon Marsh? I mean, are they both lefties? Is he a lefty? Because I know Brandon Marsh is lefty.
Marsh is lefty.
Is Whit Merrifield?
I don't know.
Hey, bat's right. So, okay. Now we're on to something now. If you just platoon Merrifield and Marsh in left and you just go with the matchup that day, whoever, you know, righties, lefties, the whole thing there. Yeah. I could get on board with this.
I'm okay with that.
I could immediately get on board with this.
Yeah.
And maybe just, and I love Brandon Marsh. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Sorry, Marshy. You don't hit like this dude hits.
No.
This guy gets it.
And there's a reason Marsh is at the bottom of the order. Like, you're not hitting that great. And not to say that he wouldn't be at the bottom of the order just because of the bats that we have ahead of him.
Right.
But if he's hitting better, I mean, I don't see a reason not to rotate him in.
No, I don't see a reason to not have him in the lineup as much as you possibly could.
Yeah.
Just because his ability to just put the ball in play and see what happens is kind of what I wish a lot more of the lineup would do.
Yeah.
He refuses to strike out. Yeah. You know, and that's
just make contact. Whatever happens after that is fine. I think, the Achilles heel of the team. Yeah. Is everybody wants to hit a bomb all the time.
It's the three true outcomes theory. It's either a strikeout, an out, or a home run. Those are the three true outcomes, and it stinks to a point. But that's also why you have guys like Bryson Stott and Trey Turner and Christian Pache, guys that aren't in it for the long ball. And actually, the more I'm looking at Bryce Harper and the way he's aging, I'm seeing I'm really starting to see less power and more doubles, I think.
Yeah, which I'm totally okay with because, in my opinion, that's why the Diamondbacks did what they did last year is because they just put the ball in play all the time.
And they got on base and they ran.
They got on base. Exactly. And that was why the Phillies struggled against them because we were just trying to hit bombs every time we were up there. And they were just like, they were playing classic baseball. They were like, get on base, good things will happen.
And it was fun. Honestly, it was fun to watch. Like, obviously, you hate seeing against your favorite team. Right? Yeah. It's good baseball to watch, though.
Yeah.
Guys just getting on base, stealing second to third. That's almost unheard of in today's baseball is stealing third base.
Yeah.
And especially against a catcher like JT Realmuto. They got caught a few times. They still weren't scared to go back to it.
Yeah.
They kept the pressure on.
Yeah.
And obviously they just got outslugged by, at the time, the hottest team in the league, in the Texas Rangers. And talk about getting hot at the right time. Holy cow. But it is possible to outslug teams in the playoffs. I mean, the Phillies kind of did it in 2022, but then just got outslugged by another outslugging team.
Yeah.
And Texas did it. It really is about when are the bats getting hot. If we could have taken mid-season Nick Castellanos and put him in the playoffs.
See, the problem is Nick just can't play in the playoffs.
Dude just crumbles. I mean, for what it's worth, this is the only time in his career he's been. So, knock on wood, this will be his third time around.
Yeah. If this year's his third time around, I'm hoping that things are better. But we have not seen good baseball from Nick Castellanos
just
in the playoffs.
Enough. It's just not enough. My comp for the Phillies right now is the Dodgers from a couple years ago.
Okay.
A team that everybody is like, I can't believe this team hasn't done it yet.
Yeah.
And they just like kind of kept kind of just getting in their own way.
Yeah.
And their Clayton Kershaw is our Aaron Nola.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Just a guy that like in the playoffs, he performed, but it was never enough.
Yep.
They eventually got over the hump. They did it in 2020. Now you can call it the Mickey Mouse World. You can call it the Mickey Mouse World Series all you want. I get that. But they got it done. They slayed their demons and they were able to win that championship. That's something I'm going to need this Phillies team to do. They got to slay their demons. And I think it's possible for sure. It's more about, can they put the pieces together at the right time? Because that's all it is in baseball, really. It's did you get hot at the right time?
Timing. Yeah. It's a long season. It's a long season. Games, it doesn't matter if you're hot in the first 40 games of the season. If you're not hot at the end of the season,
you can win 110 games. Hell, break the record. Do everything you want to. You go right ahead, Atlanta. You break that regular season.
I knew you were going to say that.
come on into Philly, baby. Come here. Come here, Spencer. Is it too loud for you? Come here.
Yeah.
We're about to get fucking throttled by the Braves, aren't we? About to happen. What a good lineup. Holy fuck. Sometimes you just look at a team and you go,
How'd you do that?
How'd you do that? I'm looking at Oakland. I'm like, can anyone, please give these people something?
Just donate a player or something.
Yeah, can we have a donate a player fund for our poor Athletics fans?
We should have just gave them Jake Cave for nothing.
Well, I mean, we did generically just give Jake Cave away for like
some cash,
like a toaster oven to Colorado.
But we should have done that to Oakland.
Yeah, seriously. I don't know. I think Oakland's still tanking for the 15th year in a row. they're really going for that prospect pool. You know what I mean? All right. Last thing to touch on for the night, to keep it in the sports realm tonight, big tilt. Obviously, we'll know the score as of when this episode drops, but huge tilt. This is the last of an absolute gauntlet of games that the Flyers had to go through recently. We were at one of them in Boston, lost in a tough one, Played a good team hard, though. And that's what you'd like to see going into it. As it stands currently, the Flyers are still in third place in the Metro, and they have Washington at, I would say, half an arm's length.
Yeah.
Washington has, let's see, they have two games in hand, and they're only 2 points behind. Yeah. Now, the good news is they also have the point advantage on Detroit for the wild card. So even if they drop out of the third place, they're still in the wild card spot. However, the wild card is so tight right now.
Yeah.
It's kind of third place in the Metro or bust right now. And they're up against the Rangers tonight, who, you know, with tonight's game, if they were to win, they'd have 100 points so far on the year in 72 games played. Not breaking any records by any means, but definitely that's going to get you first place in a lot of divisions. And in fact, is the they have the most points in the league right now at 98.
Yeah.
So, how do you feel? I will just start.
I feel good. And here's why.
Here's why.
Right. I feel good. Here's why.
Let them go.
We got the Rangers tonight at 7.
Yep. By the way.
If we come away with a point, I'll be ecstatic. I'm expecting zero. But if we come away with a point, I'll be ecstatic. We got the Canadiens and the Blackhawks to finish out the season.
Mm-hmm.
Realistically, we can get 3 points from these next three games.
You mean six?
What?
Are you talking about the Blackhawks and the Canadiens and New York?
No, I'm saying, like, combined from the three games, we can walk away with 3 points, which still keeps us in
right.
the three seed.
But I agree with you, but at that point, you're just begging that Washington and Detroit continue to struggle.
So what? How many points do you think we need for the next three games?
Next three games, I need at least 4 points. If not five. If you can just OT loss against New York, you gotta beat Montreal.
Are you saying just to not keep it close?
Well, I mean, the thing is, you gotta keep tacking on, right? Because at any point here,
yeah,
Washington and Detroit can just get hot, and they have
more
games.
However, the Capitals and the Red Wings are playing tonight.
Right.
The Capitals then play the Maple Leafs and the Bruins.
Yeah.
So are we really expecting that much from them out of the next three games? You know
what
I mean?
No, but a lot like this Flyers team, they're frisky.
They are.
They be frisky.
They are.
So the gauntlet that we were talking about was from the 14th to tonight. So last 10 days, they've had 6 games. Uh-huh. All against teams in the top 10 of the league. And actually, the more you look at it, the more it's top 5 teams.
Yeah.
In the league. Toronto, Boston, Toronto, Carolina, Boston, Florida, New York. As so far out of those, 7 games. Sorry. Out of those 7 games so far, they have a total of 5 points. Possible 14 on the table. And they've gotten away with 5. If they win tonight, it's 7, and they've gotten points out of half.
Uh-huh.
Not what you wanted, obviously. Could you ask for it? And this is obviously, knock on wood, contingent that they win tonight. Could you really ask for more than half, though, from a team that is, for all intents and purposes, still rebuilding, right?
Yeah.
There's not a game-changing stud to be found on this lineup.
No, there's not.
Especially sans Carter Hart.
Yeah. No, I get your concern, but I'm a big strength of schedule guy.
I hear you.
In these scenarios. And like I said, Washington has the Bruins and the Maple Leafs in their final two games after tonight, after they play the Red Wings. So something's going to happen there. We don't know.
Something's
got
to give there, yeah.
But they got the Bruins and they got the Maple Leafs. And then Detroit has the Hurricanes and the Panthers to finish out the season after tonight. So if you look at the teams that everybody has left, and the Islanders I'm not worried about because they also have they have like the Lightning and somebody else to finish out their season, and they're the next closest at 75. So I don't consider them really an issue at the
a
moment.
factor, yeah.
If you look at strength of schedule after tonight, the Flyers have a clear advantage. And I agree, there's no reason that they shouldn't be able to take their last two games of the season, but I think 3 points is enough for them to get through the rest of the season.
Yeah, they just really need to get wins out of the last 10. I think that's the biggest thing here, because after tonight, you have Montreal, Chicago. You basically have to come out of that with 4 points. You have to. And then you have the Islanders. That could be a tough contest, but it's at home. You got to win that game. Buffalo and Columbus and Montreal. Yeah, I mean, these are all games that you reasonably should be getting two, at least 1 point out of. You can't be coming out of these empty-handed, basically.
No,
Because to end the season, you have Rangers, Devils, Washington.
yeah, those are going to be tough games. They're
That
definitely
is,
going to be tough games.
it doesn't sound stressful until it's the last three games of the season. Washington's still 2 points behind, and New Jersey is chomping at the bit to fuck your spot up. Because they're out of it. They don't give a damn. They don't give a hoot.
So
Right.
what do
And
we think we need out of the last 10 games of the season?
dude, last 10
Five
games of the
wins?
season,
Six wins?
I would like 6 wins and at least an OT loss in there. You know,
Okay.
out of the possible 20 points in the last 10 games, I need to see 12 or 14 points out of that.
Okay, so let's look at it this way then. We have Let's this is going to be my prediction to finish out the episode.
Gotcha.
Rangers tonight loss.
OT
Canadians
or regulation?
regulation loss.
Okay.
Canadians and Blackhawks. I think we're going to get 3 points from that. I don't know how it's going to work out. One of them is going to be
Right.
an OT loss, one of them is going to be a win.
Okay.
Moving into April, I'm thinking we're going WWW on
Done.
the Islanders, Sabres, and Blue Jackets.
Right.
I think we're going to drop the last one to the Canadiens and the Rangers, and then we're going to take the last two against the Devils and the Capitals.
So that's 12. So you have 15 points out of these last games from tonight's game on. Okay. And I think that could get it done. I think that could get it done. I
I
agree with
agree.
you tonight. Actually, I do think tonight's an OT loss.
Okay.
I think the Rangers do have the Flyers number, but I think the Flyers are kind of, especially when they get kind of smacked in the face 4-1 against Florida, they usually do a good job of responding. That's kind of one of their things. Look at the Carolina Boston games back to back. Got a win against Montreal. I have an OT loss against Chicago, because I'm Chicago. So out of those three games so far, I have 4 points. I have a win against the Islanders. So that's six. I have an OT loss against Buffalo. So that's seven. I actually have them losing to Columbus. I don't know why. Just feels like something they would do. I have another win against Montreal in Montreal, so now I'm at nine. I have an overtime win against the Rangers. Keep that in mind. That's just two, so a win nonetheless, but I'm just going to say I think it's going to be stressful. So now I'm at 11 points, and I think they overtime loss Jersey, win Washington for 14 points total to wrap out a possible. How many games is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I have 10 games. So I have 14 points out of a possible 20 to wrap up the season. You have 15. We're in the ballpark. And I think that gets it done.
I think it does, 100%.
Unless by some act of God, Detroit and Washington go on like an absolute fucking like 8-game heater or something like that. I think it gets it done. I think it does.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, whether it gets it done for third in the Metro or if it gets it done for one of the wild card spots, to be honest, I don't give a damn. Like, let's look at like it looks look at this objectively. The Flyers are in first round exit territory, right? Getting
Yeah,
in
I
has
do.
been exhausting enough.
Yeah, I don't think anyone is expecting the Flyers to do anything if they make the playoffs. Then again, no one expected them to be in the playoff conversation this year.
It's true.
So things can happen for sure.
It's true.
However, even if they do make the playoffs, if it were to be how it is right now, any of the teams that they'd be playing right now are a problem for them.
All of them. All
I just
of them.
It is. Like, there's just.
Dude, there's something
They're.
about East Coast hockey. It's
The
nuts.
Panthers,
Yep.
the
Issue.
Bruins, the
Issue.
Leafs,
Problem.
the Rangers, the
Problem.
Canes,
Yep.
the Lightning, who in any other scenario would be ahead of the Flyers
They
right
could
now
beat
points
they
wise.
look, they could beat them though. But they're not going to play them because they're so low in the standings. Yeah, so I mean.
Yeah. Like the only team on this list that I'm like not super concerned about is Washington. And even
Right.
still, I'm not super confident. So it's one of those things, you're not expecting anything, you're not going to be disappointed.
Right. And here's the great part about it though, and the reason I want them to make the playoffs, because obviously rebuilding team, you want the draft picks. Here's the problem. They miss the playoffs, the pick's mediocre anyways, right? You're
Yeah,
in the middle
exactly.
of the first round.
Get the
There's
playoff experience for the young guys.
just get the playoff experience. And especially not just the playoff experience, but the late season, you have to perform to
It
get.
matters, yeah.
We're talking about hockey that matters for the Philadelphia Flyers in late March. I didn't know we'd be here. This is crazy. I expected to be fully forgetting that hockey existed and fully committed to the Philly season at this point. And now I got to balance both, which is an exhausting task, I might add, especially if they make the playoffs, because we're going to be mid-April, first
Oh,
round,
geez.
and I'm going to be exhausted. I'm not going to have
Yeah,
anything
it's
left.
gonna be a problem.
Anyways, that was a hell of an episode.
Oh, yeah.
That's honestly more of the kind of episodes I would anticipate to come out. The more stuff that we talk about that we care about, the longer we're going to talk. So that's just how it goes. Especially with baseball and playoff hockey coming around the corner, expect that to be talked about.
Appreciate
So
y'all sticking with us through this
love
one.
it. Yeah, if y'all stuck the whole way, you guys are true OGs and we appreciate you.
Oh, yeah.
Changed the social, by the way, on the ye old Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
Haven't changed it as of right now, so there's going to be right here a small snippet of me speaking that tells you what the new Instagram is. So just here it is. That's bricked up underscore pod, BRICDUP underscore pod. Yeah, go follow that. Whatever I
Yeah,
decided
what he
is
said.
going to be what I said, whatever I decided is going to be the new social. Go ahead and follow that. We appreciate you for sticking around. It's been bricked up and we out.
Thanks, guys. See you later.